Hello, everyone. Happy New Year, and welcome to our first group coaching call Q&A discussion here for January. It feels like we've been gone for 2 months, but it's really hasn't been not even a month. So it's good to be back with you guys. Hope you had a great holiday and that you're off to a great start this year. So as usual, this is a time for us to just go over any questions, any feedback you might need. There's no agenda here. I don't cover any new material. I'm just here available to answer whatever you might need help with. The way to do that is if you have a question, star 2 on your telephone keypad. We'll raise your hand if you'd like to just talk. Or if you're on the call page, each one of our calls is going to have a its own page inside the training portal. You can, if you're there now, you can just type in the question, and I'll see it. I'll read it out loud and address it. So we'll go ahead and get started. Again, star two if you have a question. And let me check here the Facebook forum. Jim had posted a question there. So let me go ahead and address that one first. Jim asks, what is the value of having a landing page show up on my website if I already have the sidebar widget doing the same thing? I suppose you do one or the other, just not both. So there's – I'm not sure if I understand, and Jim, I don't know if you're on, but let me just take a step back. The reason you want both is a lot of the traffic is just naturally going to come to your site. So they don't know you have a lead magnet. They just got there through whatever reason. And you want to be able to capture some of that traffic, right? So that's why you want to have that offer there in your sidebar. The reason you have a landing page is it gives you a very specific page to send people to as you are leaving breadcrumb trails. Instead of what most people do, which is, you know, to learn more, visit, you know, edgambia.com, for instance, your main website, your homepage. When you do that, you're gonna lose people. You're not gonna be able to capture as many because not everyone who goes to your homepage is going to see the sidebar, where they might see it, but they're distracted by other things. The landing page keeps that visitor very, very targeted, very focused on that offer. So the conversion rate on a landing page is much, much higher than on a regular web page. So that's the reason you want both, is you want to be able to use a landing page that you can send people to when you're building those breadcrumb trails, when you're going out there and putting content out there that leads to your site. Instead of going to your site, you want it to go to the landing page. So that's really the reason, in terms of, to just restate what you said here, Jim, what's the value of having a landing page? Yeah.
Sorry, I was not here at the beginning of the call, so if you needed me at all, I'm here. I'll go back to
that. Oh, okay. Okay, cool. So, all right, so let's see. Jim, okay, good. He's on the line. He's on. Hey, Jim, you're on. Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year, Ed. How are you?
Doing well, my friend. Doing well. So did that make sense? Did I understand your question correctly?
Yeah, I guess what I was a little confused by was, for whatever reason, I thought that we were looking at a sidebar widget, so I installed that onto my website, and short of a functionality problem where I can't actually get the email that is supposed to be sent so that you can download the lead magnet, everything else seems to be fine. So when I looked at this landing page and I said, okay, what you said about the breadcrumbs makes sense. So I could have, for example, in my auto signature on emails, for example, I say, hey, if you're interested in white papers, I got a great cheat sheet, blah, 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 and just have it shown. You can click here, and it'll take that person directly to the landing page. That makes a lot of sense to me. What I don't see, there's no need. I mean, there is an ability with a ConvertKit plugin to actually add the landing page to your website. But you wouldn't do that if you had it in the sidebar, would you? Or is there any value in that?
You could. But Crystal, I'll let her address that.
Yeah, so what the ConvertKit plugin is really great for is, you know, the code that I'd sent you to add into that widget, that script. Instead,
yes.
when you log into ConvertKit, if you look at the under the plugin, it gives you just a short code. So it's just an easier way. You don't have to use the script. You can just use this short code, and you can embed it on any widget, whether it's in a sidebar or somewhere else on your site, or even in the middle of a page, in the middle of a blog post, that type of thing. You can embed that web form.
Okay.
So there
may be some value with that then.
Absolutely. And then further to that, and the reason why, so just for reference, Jim and I had been going back and forth in emails, and this question had come up, and I felt like it was valuable to everyone, so that's why I put it for today's question. The second part of that, though, is the landing page. Here's the value of the plugin, again, if you have a WordPress site, is you can embed the short code, again, if you have the plugin, onto any page. So you could do jameseasywriter.com/, you know, freebie. And that's just a really easy URL to hand out to people. And when you put the short code on the page, the landing page that we built in ConvertKit will be populated onto that page for you when you have the short code there. So that really long, complicated one that you get from ConvertKit, if you hide it in a hyperlink like you were talking about in a signature, it works just fine. But if you wanted to be able to verbally give it out or to you know, share it and give a nice link, that would be the value there.
Okay. Well, that's great. Then that clarifies for me. I'll have to play around with it a bit to see whether I need to use that ConvertKit plugin or not. I'm not sure that it'll add value. If I can hyperlink and just do it that way, that's probably all I need to do.
Yeah, sometimes
I tell you when
better.
It's going to come in handy. It comes in handy at networking events, conferences, and if you decide to go ahead and put that on your business card, whether it's a temporary business card or your permanent one. So that's when, you know, really offline situations where people can't just click a hyperlink,
right.
You're going to get a lot of value out of that. But, you know, you just got to ask yourself, well, you know, do you have anything like that coming up anytime in the next few months, you know?
Yes.
And just a quick note, Jim, before you hop off and go mute, is Jessica just fixed that issue that was on your account, so you should be set now.
Oh, that's great. Look forward to playing with it then. Thank you.
You bet.
Awesome. Yeah, great stuff. But yeah, we're now getting into some folks who already set up and moving right along. So you'll see the questions are changing a bit, and that's why Crystal is joining us. So if I can't answer a question, and if it's that technical, I definitely won't be able to answer it. So Crystal will be here in most of these calls, and she can help you out and address it there or here. All right, so again, star two, if you want to raise your hand and have a discussion, or you can type in your question. Janet just typed in a question or maybe just a comment. She says, just wanted to say thanks for this first question. It answered what I was confused about is the difference of having the link on the website or on a landing page or both. I will need more coaching on how to use this. It's been years since I developed my website, and I've gotten very rusty on the ins and outs of widgets. Thanks again. Awesome. Great to hear. Yeah. So that is a very handy little tool, and the ability to go ahead and create that easy page you can just give someone. Hey, Jill, if I tell you what, go to this page, write this down, right? edgandia.com/case studies, and you'll get this cheat sheet on how to conduct a really powerful interview. That's an easy thing in a really cool way of getting someone to visit that landing page in a in-person or offline situation.
I wanted to jump in here, too. I missed the first part of what you were saying, but an example from Ed's business where these two different options came into play for us, this is years ago when we were first starting out, is the Wealthy Freelancer had a fantastic sidebar opt-in on the front page to get to sign up for the list, and you'd get, you know, free chapters of the book if you did that. And people started asking questions, you know, in emails and things like that. And rather than just send them to the main landing page and hope that they go over to the sidebar, which some people just don't want to do, like they're scared that you're going to get spammed or whatever it is, when they had a specific question that we knew the book, especially those few chapters, could answer, we created a landing page for that so that they would go straight there. Then they wouldn't get distracted. There's no, you know, shiny objects for them to chase, and it was easier for them. So think about that. You don't have to have both. And if you're overwhelmed by it, start as simple as you want, but the functionality is there when you want it.
Great point. Great point. I've also, and I mentioned this in lesson 9, the final lesson, for those of you who have gone through it. One thing I've done is if I'm going to a very targeted conference, I'll go ahead and get business cards made for that conference alone. I know it sounds, for those of us who remember when, you know, buying business cards is like a big deal because, you know, it would be a print run of 1,000. Boy, have things changed. You can get just 100 business cards for nothing these days through Vistaprint and some other sources that look really, really good. And you can create whatever you want. And there's existing templates that look really, really good. Moo.com, M-O-O.com, is another great resource. And I'm able to just create, you know, print 50, 100 cards for this conference for very little and change it so that it's really focused on a lead magnet, on a very specific lead magnet. So rather than emphasizing, for instance, my logo in my name and title, instead, I emphasize the lead magnet. I may even have a hero shot, like a little thumbnail of the cover, for instance, and then the URL where they can download it. And, of course, then my contact information, like my phone number might be or my email might be there as well. But what I'm really highlighting is that lead magnet. It's a great way to get that message across in that kind of setting and make sure that people go to the landing page instead of to your homepage. All right. Don't see any raised hands, so it's an open floor right now. If anyone's been holding off because they're shy, now is your chance. all right, so let's go to Joseph. Happy New Year, Joseph.
Hey, Happy New Year, guys.
Hey, cooking?
Hey, it's a new year, and I'm going after new clients, so that's why I'm here today.
I like it. I like it.
Oh, I sent
Very
out
cool.
probably 15 warm prospect emails yesterday. I mean, we're just chugging them out. Hopefully people are back from vacation.
Wow, that's fantastic. 15 in a day, that's really good.
Well, it's just because of all the research I did over the Christmas break. So instead of like I would do the research and then I would kind of craft my warm prospect email message, and then I had them all just lined up, saved. And so then like I waited until this week because, you know, a lot of them were out of the office, and then I just got to send out a bunch at one time. So just trying to jump on those goals. But this is part of that whole goal, you know, that's my outbound strategy, but I want to do the inbound strategy. So I wanted to get your thoughts on paid social media marketing. Of course, I've got my own thoughts, but I'd love to hear what you would say to us. Of course, you know where I'm at. I'm still climbing the scale here, trying to break 100,000 in 1 year with my business. So is this a good time to even think about social media marketing as far as paid advertisement, or should I be waiting?
I would hold off and instead use, you know, all the free meaning there's no paid access to it, but it's elbow grease, right? It's all the grunt work you have to do. And I'll give you a couple of reasons why. The biggest one is that it's changing so fast that if you don't know what you're doing and you're not constantly on top of the changes in terms of strategy and approach and tweaks and so forth, it's very difficult to get results. Your cost per lead it's going to go through the roof. The second is that now you do have an advantage. So there is one advantage in doing it, in that even if you're not optimizing it, even if you're just doing kind of a very basic bare bones job, each client could be worth so much that it doesn't really matter. If let's say your cost per client acquisition is $200. If your average client is $2,000, then that's a 10x return, right? Mm-hmm. But it's you really have to be on top of that. We have spent a lot of money on paid social media, mm-hmm. and on our own and with consultants, and it's scary, that's one. And the second reason is that I don't think, even if you know what you're doing, that you're necessarily going to see better results than you would with the free stuff. Mm-hmm. So it just seems it's got this appeal and this image of being kind of like an easy solution if you just throw money at it, but that's not necessarily the case. And I would say the third thing is that the way I've seen it work with consultants and freelancers, at least marginally well, is if it's all leading to a productized service. So, for instance, like if you have like a website package and it's by productized, I mean it's really well defined. You know, it's only 5 to 8 pages and so much copy, and here are all the parameters, so it's very confined. That's an easier thing to lead people to, not as a direct sale in social media, but meaning that's like your end goal, mm-hmm. than it is some of what many of us are doing here, which is more made to order, if that makes sense. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. That just pretty much confirms what I need to do. I'm going to leave that avenue alone because there isn't that much money to spend.
Yeah, so I'll tell you one thing, and if you do decide to get in it or dabble, and Crystal might I don't know if she might agree, disagree, but I find that the retargeting is a great way to start. But retargeting, because it's so cheap. So here's a way retargeting goes. Like if we, for instance, if we do a promotion and we get, 500 people visit the sales page or landing page, we can retarget those visitors on Facebook for very, very cheap. But in order for that to even show anything, even though it's cheap, you have to have a lot of volume. You have to have a lot of visitors to that page. So if you do a promotion, and again, you know, it kind of speaks to having like a productized service or a lead magnet. But let's just say a lead magnet, since that's what we're doing here. You could promote it really heavily and then retarget those visitors on Facebook. The problem is that unless you have, 500 plus people visit that site, you're still not going to get much out of it, because retargeting only works for those that Facebook has a valid email address for. That's an address that they're going to actually pay attention to.
Okay.
Crystal, what are your thoughts there?
I love it when you and I agree. That's great. That's actually what I would have suggested too. And to take it a step further, if you take a look at even some digital marketer has a really great example. If you have blog posts, for example, that are getting high traffic, so what Ed said about 500 visitors to one page is kind of important, because Facebook ads on these, the retargeting ads, won't be delivered until there's at least 100 people in the audience. That's what they call the group of people. And in our experience, when we first started, it was about 25% of people who came to a page matched their Facebook email. We're sometimes up to about 40%, but it's still not great. So the way that digital marketers suggest doing it that I think would be a really great idea for somebody who's getting decent traffic to some blog posts or something like a lead magnet is, you know exactly if they're coming to a specific blog post, we'll use ghostwriting, for example, just because it's easy for me. If you know they're coming to a ghostwriting blog post, you know they're interested in ghostwriting. So you can deliver an ad, hey, did you know, or are you looking for a ghostwriter, or whatever it is. You have to play around with that. But that's how retargeting works. But what Ed didn't talk about is LinkedIn is something to explore maybe before Facebook when you're ready to start doing ads. The only reason I say that, Ed and I haven't done that in his business yet, but for freelancers that are working sort of, you know, B2B, a lot of them, LinkedIn may be a really good place to start.
That makes sense. That would be where most of the B2B audience would be looking frequently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But then, you know, again, there it's like we go back to the something I mentioned earlier. It's changing rapidly, so you need to be on top of it. So I don't have the patience to stay on top of those things, which is why we've used outside people in the past to just manage this, because that's what they do, you know. But then now you're talking about spending more money, so you really have to now invest. You know, we're talking about, it really boils down to this, right? That many times we want to do things, well, can I throw a little bit of money at it so I can save time? Well, this is the sort of thing you're going to have to, you're not going to save time, because in order to throw money at it and not go to waste, you have to invest time in learning the ins and outs and stay on top of the changes which happen. I mean, just Facebook alone, it's like every other week there are significant changes. You know, just the strategies, approaches, and the interface. Even the interface, you know, we'll buy some training on it. In
6 months later.
Even if it's new training, by the time we watch it, it's the interface has changed.
Ed, one of the things I was thinking about, though, if you don't mind if I make a suggestion.
Sure.
Instead of looking at ad spend at this point in your business, and anybody who's just not earning yet $100K, for example, make sure that you first, and even before, even if you're looking at doing ad spend, this is something you need to have in place, is a comprehensive marketing plan that includes social media. It includes your newsletter. It includes all of the other things. So many people focus on just doing a little bit of social media stuff kind of haphazardly or throw it to somebody. But if you create, I mean, we've got training on it, but internally, what we try to do is reuse the content, but we also have a content publishing plan for all of the content that we put out so that we're using the best of each channel. And that way, when we hire somebody like a virtual assistant to do some of the legwork for us, it's actually kind of it's a plan in place that we know that if we're going to be we really want this lead magnet to get out there. So we create a bunch of tweets and Facebook updates and LinkedIn updates for that lead magnet, and we have to have a landing page for it. And then maybe we'll create a couple of videos about it, and we'll put those on YouTube and we'll reshare it on LinkedIn Pulse. And those all sound great, and you can just kind of throw it to the wind, but you really want to kind of dial it in and have a plan in place for your overall marketing plan, and then you'll get more leverage. And that will prepare you for when you're ready for a spending on Facebook or LinkedIn ads, because you really need to have that kind of stuff documented when you get to that point. I went around in circles, Ed. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And, you know, and that's what we talk about in Lesson 9, right, is taking this content and repurposing as much as possible. You know, write once, publish multiple times in multiple formats and in platforms. That's a really good point. So then that's, by the way, guys, a great question, Joseph, and that's why we didn't really talk about that in Lesson 9, paid social media, paid advertising, because I found that for what we're doing, it's not going to be the most effective for all the reasons we talked about. So, all right. Let's see. Now, I'm going to bring Melissa back on. Hey, Melissa, are you there?
I am. Yes.
All right. Sorry, you know, I heard you greet me, and then we couldn't even hear you. It was weird.
That's
and then
so
you
strange.
Couldn't hear us.
No, that was a long-winded question anyway, so that's okay.
Well, no, believe me, we weren't in there. I got all these witnesses here. Nobody could hear you. So it's not that we got bored or anything. So I apologize.
That's funny. No worries. So bottom line, I guess my real question is, once we get to the point where we have a phone call with you, and is that a time where we can either tweak or change a bit our lead magnet, either the name or the focus of it?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's already happened a couple of times when we got to the call, and it's been really great, I think, for many of you, in that we're able to have a conversation, and then by the time we're done, we're both on board that we have to move in a slightly different direction or, you know, tweak these things, or in some cases, we've just gone with something completely different.
Okay.
So that's why we
okay,
have
that's
that
great.
There. Yeah, absolutely. And listen, and if we get to, and this has happened, I think, with one or two of you, where because the change was so drastic, if we need to jump on another call, I'm fine with that. I mean, I want you guys to be successful. I want this to be right. So don't worry about, oh, my gosh, you know, at the end of the call, don't have this anxiety about, well, I've just used up my call with Ed. I mean, we want to do this right,
okay.
You know?
Okay, great. That answers my question. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And you,
how's it going? How's it going with your outline or your thoughts there on it?
Good. I feel good about it. I do have some questions though about some of the other services I offer and how they'll all tie together, and maybe in what order to offer them. But that's probably something that we would talk about on our call. Also, you were talking about lesson 9. I only see up to lesson 7 on my.
The way we're doing it, Melissa, is we don't want to. We haven't released them all until you've gotten to a certain point. So. So once we're not even releasing 9 until we're done with your lead magnet, because it's
okay.
There's no point, you know.
It's
we're
okay.
trying to
okay.
prevent overwhelm.
I like that. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, just-in-time learning instead of just-in-case.
Yeah, perfect. That works for me. Thank you.
Yeah, I had no worries. And by the way, just FYI, so what it is, it's, okay, now you got everything set up. How do you create breadcrumb trails to your landing page? You know, so, yeah, it's, you know, it's nice to know about it, but I know if I put it out there, I know if it were me, it would create anxiety. It would be like, oh, my
yeah,
gosh, there's so much.
Yeah.
So, cool. And by the way, so if you want to talk through, I don't want to put you on the spot, but even in these calls, mm-hmm. if you want to talk through, you know, some of your services and how this all integrates, you know, that's all fair game. You don't have to necessarily wait for a one-on-one call, but if you want to do it then too, that's
sure.
fine.
Okay. Yeah. I would appreciate your input on it. So my signature service is writing personal brand profiles. Which is really, it's the About Me page on your About page. And so I'm wanting to do a lead magnet that leads into that. So that might be a cheat sheet or a tip sheet about, you know, how to get people to fall in love with you on your About Me page. You know,
okay.
something along that line. And then the other services that I want to be offering, too, are doing mini case studies around that person's experience, you know, his or her success stories, and taglines for businesses and products, as well as new product names. So those last couple ones, those are smaller services than doing a personal brand profile. And I'm not quite sure how they connect. The mini case studies definitely do, and I've already done those for a couple of clients. Where I'll write their about page, and then I give, you know, case studies about what that person's involvement was, what kind of impact they had, what the outcomes were. So that makes sense, but I don't know about how taglines for businesses and products and new product names tie-in?
Well, the way I would think about this, and I think it's all contextual. It depends on who the client is, right? Sometimes it's,
mm-hmm.
once you have an
right.
actual client, then you can see how it ties in. But the way I would think about this is, which of those services you mentioned do you feel, or maybe it's from experience, is the easiest or best way for you to get in the door with a client?
Probably taglines or new product names.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. People hate writing about themselves. So to write short personal brand profiles, you know.
So it's, have you had, you know, it's the kind of, it sounds like maybe you're not sure, or have you had some
right.
clients? Because I know, like, when I was getting started, I led with, lead generating copy, lead generating gigs, and people that essentially were saying, that's great, Ed, love that, but what I really need help with right now is this.
Mm-hmm.
And after 10 people told me that, I kind of moved on and said, okay, well, this is my original idea. On paper, I thought this was going to be the easiest way to get in the door, and it's what I thought I would want to do. But they're asking me for this other thing. And it wasn't just one other thing, but it would be like maybe two or three other things. So then I shifted gears. So are you kind of in that spot right now where, yeah, you've done a few of each of these projects, but you haven't really had enough of it to know, hey, this is what's really resonating with people?
Right. Probably, because I haven't asked about taglines or new product names. I've just gotten assignments like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I did a survey, and what came back is that people were really struggling with writing their about page about themselves.
And they do hate it. Even writers hate writing about themselves. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think what I like about that one is that there's a lot of emotion around it. You know, people already know that taglines. Like, they know that's hard. They know that's hard, and they know they've been struggling, and it's a source of pain and frustration. Taglines, product names, maybe they don't realize that that's a problem yet.
That's right.
So maybe that, even though that might be a lower-priced project, so financially it might be easier to close one of those opportunities, it doesn't have a lot of emotion around it. And you definitely want some emotion around it, right?
Yes. Good point. Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, you don't know. I mean, we're making an educated guess. Mm-hmm. We don't know. We have to test it.
Right. And some people feel like, hey, they can write their own taglines for their business or product or create new product names, but they're the first to admit it's really hard to write about themselves, and they put it off and don't like what's out there about, you know, what's already published. So,
well, and think about this. I mean, if you already have trust with them because you've done a fantastic job with their about page, right? So now you have trust,
mm-hmm.
and you, that project is complete, or maybe you're 2/3 of the way through, and then you start talking about, hey, I was looking at your products, and, you know, I had a couple of ideas. You know, I'm really confused about the way you're explaining it now, or the name, and have you thought about doing something like this? And you don't have to give mm-hmm. them all the answers, right? You just have to maybe help them enough to get some clarity. And that could spark a conversation about it, because they're so close mm-hmm. to it. They might say, you know what, you're right. I've never felt really comfortable with that name or that concept, or, you know, I was trying to go for this kind of metaphor, but I can see why it's not working. I'd never felt really great about it. I love what you're suggesting there. I think you're right. And then that starts a dialogue about, you know, helping. Well, you know, I can, you know, I do this for businesses, right? Oh, you did. I didn't know you did that.
And I like that. That makes a lot of sense, because then there's a relationship already established and there's trust and openness.
Exactly, as opposed to...
Right, this was supposed to, you know, being more defensive. Well, I like that name, and it's worked so far. Versus, yeah, you know, I have some questions or concerns about it.
You got it. So maybe start where there's already admitted pain, and then once you have the relationship, you can dig deeper and offer some ideas. But I like that. I like the way you're thinking about this, because the problem with this personal branding is that if that's all you do, it's very limiting. There's only so much you could do for a client, but if you're already thinking a little bit deeper, then that turns a client who might be, you know, X amount, it could turn them into, you know, 3X in terms of lifetime value.
Right. And when I say personal brand profile, do you know what I'm talking about? Does that?
Oh, I know you're going beyond the about page, right? I know you're doing you know, much deeper work than that. But what I meant was, you know, that you're looking at ways to not end the relationship there. You're looking for, well, you know, after that, there's some other things I might be able to help them with, depending on what they do.
Mm-hmm. Right. I meant just in general, if you were to read that I create personal brand profiles, would you know what that is?
I have an idea. I mean, you know, I'm thinking like kind of like messaging and positioning, like a positioning framework, but instead of for a company or a business, for a personal brand. At least that's my perception. Am I anywhere close?
Yes. And then, of course, the application would be in your about. It would be on your about page.
I think it goes beyond that, right?
It does.
Other applications, like in terms
other,
of
other applications, yes.
Conversations, networking events, you know, sales copy,
social
marketing,
media, yes.
Social media.
Right.
So, by the way, the key, since you're asking that, you bring up a good point. Just make sure that if you're talking about personal brand profiles, that your audience is using that terminology, or they most of them understand what that is.
Mm-hmm. So do a little bit more research and see if it's resonating with my audience.
Yeah, you want to use a language that they understand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, for instance, like in here, I don't use to you kind of go with the example of this particular program and service that we're offering. We're not selling it, and when we marketed this thing, we weren't talking about creating a lead funnel. We found that for this audience, that's kind of either a foreign or fuzzy term. We have a lot of very experienced digital marketers in my tribe, but a lot of them wouldn't understand that. So instead, we use terminology like attraction marketing, or even better, we said getting prospects to come to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very clear. No room for.
Yeah, because in all our surveys, that was some of a lot of what people were saying is just exhausting to, you know, prospect all the time. I wish more prospects would come to me.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, good point. I'll play around with that and do a little bit more research on that too. See what's showing up.
Yeah. Yeah, and look back at your survey responses and maybe have a couple of conversations and see what comes up.
Okay. Thank you, Ed. This is really helpful.
Oh, you're welcome. And sorry about earlier, the glitch. I don't know what happened.
No worries.
All right. Cool. All right. So, again, star two, if you have a question or need feedback. All right, I don't see any raised hands, so I'll do one last call just in case. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. No. No, I don't see any others. So let's see. Our next call, and again, we'll keep announcing these. These are also in the training portal, is going to be 2 weeks from yesterday. So Tuesday the 23rd, and then we'll be back to 1 o'clock Eastern time. We just had some scheduling issues this week, so we have to move to 2. I hope to keep these calls at all at 1 o'clock. But if there are any changes, I'll give you guys plenty of notice ahead of time. And you know, I got these scheduled well into February so that we can continue having these conversations as you're moving through this process. And then I'll check in with you guys then. So if we need to continue, you know, having these calls every couple of weeks, I'm happy to do that. So with that, we'll go ahead and sign off. You guys have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk again real soon. Take care, everyone.